Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And then he goes out and he just rides more junk miles.
They weren't junk miles. I felt good. It was sunny. I felt happy. I felt happy inside. That was new.
That was an experience I haven't had for 7 years.
Happy inside?
Yeah.
Well, that's new. That sensation. Wow.
Yeah. Before we begin, sponsor mentions from some of our great supporters. New one, the Pro's Closet. What started out as a simple site featuring, well, old pro bikes, now has turned into one of the greatest ways to put to get out on the roads and trails with high-quality gear that doesn't break the bank. The Pro's Closet is more than an eBay for bikes, more brands than just about anywhere. Accessories, parts, apparel, and so much more at fair prices, which, as we know, is far from the norm these days. Be sure to use our link at packfiller.com or let them know we sent you. I'm going to probably put the sponsorship right on the chopping block right now and ask, has anybody ever bought anything through the Pro's Closet yet?
I've looked at stuff.
Yeah, I have too. Mm-hmm. Quite in depth. And yeah. I've almost pulled the trigger about 5 or 6 times. But I never have yet.
I've bought like new stuff.
Yeah. Them,
like cleats and things.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Welcome to the Pro's Closet. Ooh, thank God. Muck off the finest and care for your finest possessions. That's right. You must care for your bikes or they will not only look badly, but perform badly. Muck off makes it so easy, from tubeless setup to lube and cleaning tools and liquids. Muck off will keep all things running so smoothly. Oh, so smoothly. Get over to their website today using the link at packfiller.com and get 15% off your first order today. Notice I keep saying use the link at packfiller.com. Because I need to keep these guys in beer. And we're about to run out of stout, and I'm going to have to probably take orders about what the next beers are going to be. Speaking of which, Athletic Brewing, which Sam is actually enjoying tonight, flavor, variety, and healthy, all offerings from the great people at Athletic Brewing. Avoid the sleepies. Avoid the booze. From IPAs to ales and stouts, Athletic has it all. Trust the leaders in the non-alcoholic brew front. Trust Athletic. Use our link, por favor. That is French for... give me something. Did I just insult two cultures? Nah, I just showed my own ignorance. Hey, let's play bikes. Get ready because everyone but me has got some massive gains on this past sunny weekend, which can only mean the entire commentary from me will be self-deprecating. Welcome to the Packfiller Podcast. We are live on YouTube, packfiller.com, from the Rim Break Bar in Spokane, Washington, a city who just recently benefited from global warming. We all admit this isn't supposed to happen this time of year.
No.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be in the 40s.
Yes.
It is in the 70s. I'm Pat Bolger, and let's see who's here, shall we? Tonight's prologue question. When is the last time you got sick from something you ate? Give you a chance to think about it. First time I ever got really sick from something I ate, I can throw them under the bus because they don't exist anymore, was Sea Galley. I had the salad bar at Sea Galley, and I was dating my wife, and we both got violently ill. super romantic. But that's not the that's not the most recent time. Tonight's introductions are nicknames we don't want, so I get a free chance to insult each one of you pricks who rode without me this weekend. First off, he is now known as the ERD. Mr. Balmain. Should we just keep it a secret what ERD means, or and just let it reveal slowly? Or
yeah, you, whatever. You're the master in command.
How are you, man?
Good.
When's the last time you got sick from food?
I'm trying to think where it was from, but it was calamari.
Oh. It's a lot of times it's the seafood. That's what it'll do it. That'll do it. Next off, he's simply known as Horse Ass.
I love
Mr.
that.
Mr. Sam Wavell. Do you really?
I mean, just because I know it bothers David, because he's always had a bigger booty than me.
Does he?
No, yours is more shapely. His is elongated. And there's like a more vortex wh- when you
he's got more whip
when you draft.
Yeah, yeah. The Wavell's wind tunnel is what that's known as. yeah, it? I think that the last time that I was sick was sushi from a local.
Yeah, there you go.
We're running into a seafood situation.
Not going to, you know, poke any places there.
Poke?
Poke any places. But yeah, no, that was probably the last one. It's not that uncommon that I eat food that's too old and I get an upset stomach. I'm very much known as the garbage goat. I'm like, it's probably still good. It smells a little weird, but it's probably still okay.
We're good.
And then my stomach doesn't feel good for a day, but I don't usually throw it back up.
Yeah.
Takes
a lot getting sick and throwing up are not necessarily the same thing, but you're okay. Yeah. You're okay. Yep. Okay. Next, I don't know if he likes this. He's simply known as Elf on the Shelf. Back to David Mabels.
Yeah. Yeah, probably, you know, probably not my favorite,
but fitting.
Such is life.
But fitting. When was the last time you got sick, doctor?
Well, if you ask, work, I've had food poisoning once this year and last year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
As a vegan.
Yep. No, this is how I got out of work, man.
Oh.
You asked them. but
they didn't put it together.
Yeah, well, this guy really gets sick a lot. Mm-hmm. No, but before that, I think the last time I really got food poisoning was in Thailand, right before med school started. It was miserable. And right before that, it was
college.
That burger from hell that you made.
Oh, yeah.
That actually gave me a
what
bacterial...
turned you guys vegetarian?
Yeah, which actually gave me. Oh no, the burger was after Thailand, so that was the last time. It actually gave me Campylobacter, which is a type of like GI pathogen that is actually bacterial, not viral, which is usually what you get. Yep,
I almost killed him.
Yeah, wow.
Where did you buy that your close. Hamburger from?
It smelled a little off.
Hey, it fell off a truck. It's free. You know. What are you going to do?
It was vibrating, but it was fine.
It was like Frankenstein. He just
green film over the top, but I just scraped that off and
cooked it on the hood of a car for like 5 seconds and called it good. Yeah, yeah. It was like,
all right, you know what? In my defense, I'm gonna clear the story up. Okay,
you tried to kill your family.
Yeah, well, that happens weekly.
And you turned them vegetarian. I mean, that's
the whole family.
That's just not like, oh man, that was a bad batch of a burger. It was like, that was not only a bad batch of burger, I'm never touching it again.
I've never liked to cook meat. I've never felt confident about it because it always scares me for that reason. But I will say, it was definitely undercooked. And like after the first bite, he should have definitely been like, that's red, and just put it back down, right? This dude just inhaled it all so fast that, yeah, he didn't even look at it.
Yeah, it's rare. Right? Isn't that a thing? People eat it that way?
My dad likes hamburgers that raw.
No. I mean, it's beef. You can eat it.
Yeah.
Gross. Tartar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tartar.
Yeah. Next, and I know this one is one he doesn't like, and nobody's ever said it on the show. He's simply known as Jubb.
Mm. Ooh. One brings up
painful grade school memories.
Where all my.
Where does Jubb even come from?
Well,
Jubb.
It's where all my trauma comes from. I'll be honest.
Should I have not said
it? Not really. Yeah. I'm not gonna. You know.
Grade school. You know that bullshit.
Yeah. They come up with the stupidest.
I think
names.
It was just because his name is Jackson Bulger, JB, so they called him Jubb.
Yeah.
But it was the pricks who said it, right? Probably.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are listening to this show, so you can just have at them.
Just all of them are terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When was the last time you got sick?
So last time I got sick, my wife and I tell this story all the time. So it was the day it was our last day of living in Portland, and my in-laws came down with two of my brothers-in-law, and we were going to leave the next day and everything. Her pinning ceremony for becoming like a official like nurse was the next day and everything, and we didn't have a bed. Our entire apartment was completely moved out, so we were sleeping on an air mattress, and the air mattress, it popped.
One of you guys has a prickly ass, because every air mattress I've ever known you sleep on pops.
Well, I don't know if this one popped or if our inflator just didn't work.
Oh.
And so at that point,
okay,
we were just like, might as well not. And so
I sleep on the floor.
Like I said, my in-laws came in. We went to dinner with them at McMiniman's. There are 50 million McMiniman's over in that area. So whichever one it was, doesn't matter. I think I had a burger that night.
Oh, it's
and,
the burgers.
And I was just like feeling so crummy. I went and I threw up. And then I was like, you have a ceremony in the morning, so it doesn't matter how I am. So I slept on, I was like, I'm going to just sleep on the floor. And we were getting so mad at each other because, you know, like the whole like stress, I just threw up, we're moving.
Yeah.
We got to do all this stuff. That was coming up. And then, so I'm like, I'm going to sleep on the floor. And we both go dead silent. And then my wife hands a pillow to me. It was either hands or she throws it at me. Either one. Either way, I think it's funny. And she goes, here. I know your hips are going to dig into the floor. Like the sweetest thing. She's doing something so sweet, but she says it in like the most mad way possible.
I was just like, but I don't want you to be uncomfortable.
This is just one of the funniest, one of our funny stories.
That's awesome. So.
Me, I'm simply known as Fat Pat, P-H-A-T. And I don't like that either.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that.
It's not bad.
It's not that good.
If there's a P-H in it, you know?
Because that makes me kind of hip.
Yeah.
From like 1998.
Yeah.
Man, like the fat kind of, rhymes, man. Like
the kind of person who would wear parachute pants.
He did have a pair.
I did. Mm-hmm. See, you fucker. I was thinking about it. I did get a little ill this weekend when I was driving to Montana from McDonald's. And
you ate McDonald's?
I did.
Don't
I
you starving. Ate McDonald's? That's so annoying.
What do you eat?
You eat McDonald's?
Yes.
Wow. What do you eat at McDonald's?
I had two cheeseburger meal.
Does it come with two cheeseburgers?
Sam, you were in my wedding.
I tell you what, I haven't eaten at McDonald's since like 1996.
Okay. Let me finish my story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this isn't even going to be the one I was going to use for my last time I got sick. And because the only person that suffered was me, because in the car, it's cold outside and I had a bad stomach. So I suffered the whole way there at my own brand.
Oh,
yeah. But actually before that, it was when I did that training camp and I went down to Hood River. And I went to a very popular brewing company who I adore their beers. I got some food to go out of the window and I came home and I ate it and I watched the Gonzaga basketball game and I woke up in the middle of the night with that, you know, that.
Oh.
I'm not going to puke. I'm not going
to. Why is then my mouth salivating?
Hot,
yeah. Then you go to the bathroom and you're just standing there or sitting there or just moving around just going, okay. Am I going to do this? No, I'm not going to do this. I could probably go back to... No. Holy shit, it's going to happen. And I turned around and puked.
You know how you know that feeling?
Yeah.
Like, because we've all been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I didn't...
Diaphoretic.
I wish I wouldn't... Like, is sweaty. That the word? Yeah. I wish I wouldn't fight it. I wish there was a way to just go... Flip the switch. Okay, let's go to bed.
Pull the trigger.
Yeah, I'm usually lying there just going, oh, okay, no. Oh, God. Why was I born?
So, like, I can keep it down most of the time.
Really?
It's very that's so rarely stupid. I throw up.
Wow, Sam's so strong. He doesn't throw up. He doesn't eat McDonald's. Shut up.
I will say, there have been times that I'm in an airport and I'll have one of those, like, what is the breakfast thing that they do with egg and cheese?
Burrito?
Egg McMuffin?
That's it.
You say you go to McDonald's.
Yeah.
You're a fucking liar.
And you know
liar.
What? That, the egg that is in that is probably some powdered egg
that
you're going to find anywhere else. I'm not about to eat their beef or their chicken or any of that.
Their fake sausage that he eats.
Yeah.
No, I don't eat the sausage.
You'll eat the sausage.
No, it's just an egg, cheese, and bread.
That's it.
And ham.
Disgusting.
No, there's nothing else on it.
And it.
He'll eat.
Okay, whatever it is,
we're not getting into this.
Egg, cheese, and bread. Yeah.
Clearly not a connoisseur.
a quarter pounder is a freaking work of art. Yeah. It's still really good. And the double quarter pounder?
It's a Mona Lisa.
It's a Mona Lisa.
It's good. I'm not a Big Mac guy.
I don't like Big Macs.
Can you less what's that
number? You gotta stop.
In under 10 seconds or whatever it is?
Wait, what?
Yes.
Two all beef patties with sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickle, onions on the sesame seed bun.
Two all beef patties.
My wife sauce, won a contest.
Cheese, onions, pickles on
a radio contest.
Yeah. Bun. Yeah. It was a song.
She does it so fast.
Two all beef patties.
Yeah, but they used to have radio. Sauce, back when people fast. Listened to the radio,
yeah.
They used to have contests.
Now they just listen to podcasts. Fucking idiots.
Yeah. Who does that?
Whoops. Oh. I want to start by saying my week was somewhat productive. I noticed I'm saying my training week first. I got 4 rides in, if I count yesterday, and 2 of them were outside. I am slightly ahead of my usual numbers, which makes me happy per spring. And that doesn't include last year, because last year I was on the operator's table. Mm-hmm. Operator's table? Operator. Get me off this table! and things are going well. That being said, this last weekend was beautiful, and you assholes got in 2 absolutely great rides. So let me have it. How are the rides and how has your week been? Anybody who wants to start can start, because I know you're all just going to gloat and rub it in and I'm going to get drunk.
They're pretty great.
Yeah, it's all right.
It was all right. Yeah. First, I will say they were actually pretty excellent. The first day was I would say bigger than the second one for sure.
Mm-hmm. You, Jackson Bulger, because I stalk you on Strava, did 70 on Saturday and you did 50 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So first ride was great. I ended and I was kind of sore. A different type of sore I've ever felt. So that was interesting. More of a muscle sore than a just like I'm going to die sore. Hmm. And then the next day I was like on top of the world, which I was really surprised about. Mm-hmm. I thought I would be shredded after that, and then I did another one yesterday.
Yeah, I saw
so
you.
So that was fun.
Well, I kind of saw you.
Yeah, I know. I went by.
Really?
And
yeah.
I waved, and you did not seem like you knew.
Knew who you were right when you got like within 10 feet of me. Mm-hmm. Without my contacts in, I can see. Oh, that's a cyclist. And then when you get really close to me, it's like, oh, that's the cyclist who is my son.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you ride by the house?
No, I was. We met.
I was on a ride, Sam.
You ride bikes?
I ride bikes.
Wow, you had me fooled.
Yeah. But you know, all in all, to wrap it up, I think that it was just great to go back out and be outside again and actually like ride hard. So I'm happy with how everything went.
Was there any tempo or intensity moments? I know that you guys all have a tendency to dick measure at some point in time, Sam.
I mean, I just sat at a hard pace the whole day. It was over 200 just for an average. Didn't really leave the, you know, just sat up there. Just set in tempo. Because that's what I want right now. It's just like, yeah. I mean, because
I got dropped
I'm
and
doing.
He just kept coming back. Get me.
Yeah. You're not done.
And we had you're not done yet. New member actually on
yeah.
too. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. Our team is, our little family's growing.
Yes, mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah.
But that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Running the shuttles was good.
Yeah. First you brought me.
I would have been I would have been absolutely screwed, wouldn't I?
No,
you'd mm-hmm. have made it.
Yeah.
It wasn't. We didn't do any really hard things. We just sat at a constant tempo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It wasn't anything bad.
How are you guys feeling strength wise now that you got a chance to do this against each other?
I mean, I feel like I'm usually,
Jackson just did the chef's kiss. Yeah,
mm.
I feel like where I'm usually at, I'll be good for sustained power, and that's about it. I think Euphrata or Kennewick helped.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've been doing, like, I lifted on Friday night before we did this. I did a leg day and a little bit of upper body. That kind of hurt, but I feel good. I'm trying to stack more hard days on top of each other just because Tour de Bloom is 4 days in a row.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt.
Yes. That's a bad one.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
Like, my thing is recovering between them. So it's like, yeah, I felt good again on Saturday or on Sunday, but I mean, I only did 65 miles, which I guess is the first day, but it was pretty much flat. Whereas the first day of, you know, Tour de Bloom is...
We already drank.
Yeah. Yeah, is 10,500 feet of vertigo.
Ironically, he's drinking out of the glass. This is powered by beer.
It's me.
When are you hoping to be race ready? I mean, we technically have our first... Can we call them training races?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Even though there have been some weekend ones happening on the other side of the state.
Last weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's when I was hoping to be ready.
You were?
Last weekend, yeah. For Kennewick, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
Have you adjusted those intentions, plans?
Next weekend.
Weekend. Okay.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Next weekend.
That'll be the one.
Paul, when are you expecting to be race ready? Are you hoping to be
race
ready?
At the rate I'm going, I'll probably be May.
Oh, my. Oh.
That's how I feel.
Maybe of 2026?
Yeah, possibly.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's not.
What
is
age?
Good.
It takes a while to get back into it.
Oh.
Yes.
Jesus. Jackson, when are you hoping, and are you ahead or behind of last year? I know you hold the numbers pretty close to your chest, so yeah. You don't have to answer.
No, I think in 3 weeks I'll be ready. I mean, went for a couple of city limits this week and the pops there, but, yeah, I think that much stronger than I was last year at this time. So
good. Feeling okay. Good. So that's big.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right on. Sam, how's Mr. Perfect?
I think that I'm right where I need to be. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I think like the biggest thing is that I need to work on recovering from explosive efforts, because like in the 1-2 races, a lot of it is like get into a break and then you have to be able to sustain a high power, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just like I'm not training for being a sprinter. I don't care if it came down to a group sprint, I'd just be like, Jackson, here's your pole. Good luck. You know, and I just like, I'm not going to sprint for a sprint finish. It's just not my style. So I think that for what I'm training for, it's all going, I mean, well. I'm like, Maui was a really good boost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
David, are you gonna be a god this year, or are you just gonna
you're
be
gonna
a,
be fast.
You got, I mean, I got the Greek god beard going, so I'm just wondering, you know.
That helps. I'm gonna have lots more time off than I've ever had, so hopefully I'll actually have some fitness. I was thinking today I'm worried I'm coming out too hot. Because, I mean, I actually ended up doing like 50 today, because I did 30, and I did 20 with my wife and his wife before we came here. So I did like 2 today, and I've ridden every day.
Are you
since.
Working?
No, it's amazing. Yeah, I haven't. Like,
unemployment.
Yep.
Try it.
I'm, you know, got all this time to ride and take care of my life now, and so it's going well, but I'm sure
it's going well.
It's really cool when you
sleep. Cool when you have some independence and you only work 40 hours a week.
It's so great. I can't believe that's normal. Yeah. So no, I mean, we'll see what happens with the races, I guess, but I just want to have fun. I just want to go out and like hurt people. I'd never like I'm really never going to a start line like thinking I'm gonna come across first. I'm looking around thinking I want people to remember how bad I hurt them.
Say my name.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, a couple of you will beat me, but I want at least 10 of you to remember that you got dropped on my effort.
Yeah. Really.
That's what I go out for. I don't necessarily go for the finish line, so.
This weekend's looking a little bit colder, a little bit back to normal in terms of our weather. Right now outside, I think it's probably 60.
No,
it's a 70, no, 61. But that's in the shade outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's heaven for us in March. That doesn't happen. So this weekend is looking to be a little rainy, a little colder, stuff like that. Normal Spokane for late March. Does the bike ever go back on the trainer? Why or why not? Paul's shaking his head. Jackson is nodding his head. Sam is nodding his head. David is shaking his head.
No.
So what happens this weekend if you open the windows on Saturday morning and it's pissing rain?
I think that for my own mental state, I've already checked out that I'm not riding this weekend on the road. If it was like, you know, pissing rain or just like not incredible weather, I will go mountain bike. But I'm going to go do like just elevation laps basically at Beacon. Like nothing like super technical. I just want vert. Because that's what I need.
I can't believe I put you and Paul next to each other.
I know. Yeah. But that or I'm going to hop on the trainer. I mean, but I also have the house projects I'm trying to finish.
Excuse $100 says he's oh, I had to work on my my sewer line broke and I decided to fix it myself. Yeah. I was crawling like Shawshank. Paul, you shook your head. No effing way. No.
So it's above freezing, and if it's raining, it's raining, and you can't control the conditions. Even if it's race, it's a race. It's 40 degrees. I'm going to be out there from now on out. Wow. So. Yeah, what does it matter? Get you conditioned and mentally prepared.
Yeah. Oh, I will drop out of Tour de Bloom so fast.
If it's raining?
If it's 40 degrees and raining.
I'm coming to that point.
The last couple of years, it hasn't been that good. They had the hail, and they actually, I think they even
truncated.
I'm coming to that point. After RC3 last year,
yeah.
After how much I got into my own head because it was so cold, I'm like, I just got to fess up to the fact that I am a complete wuss. I don't like racing in the cold anymore, and I don't have to.
I don't like it, but I do it because I like racing.
There's something just epic about it, I think. Yeah. I remember when we raced 2 years ago.
Rain.
Well, when we raced 2 years ago, it was like you just have to accept in the moment that you're going to be cold for a little bit, and then it'll warm up. But that was probably one of the best races I've ever been a part of, just because it was so like
gnarly.
It was just a war of attrition at that point, yeah.
Winds blowing sideways with the rain.
Nothing quite like it.
Horrible. And that's the thing. The thing, everybody, you got to keep it. Well, you got to keep it in mind. Everybody's in the same condition, and those who don't want to be there are going to quit. And it's like riding somebody off your wheel.
Same race.
It's like the same joy you get when you ride somebody off your wheel.
You can have that joy. It's like for me all day long.
I made you break. You could not handle. I increased the pace, and you can't handle it. And you know, it's the same type of deal.
Yeah, I can because I have. I've endured like where it was snowing and we literally were racing on snow that was like 2 inches thick in Montana. But I've done it.
I used to be good
at it. I don't need to do it anymore.
I used to be really good at it.
Just like for me also, it's the risk of crashing and everything else is just too high. Like the thought that I can't go to work on Monday and I'm like...
Right before the show started, you said you'd quit.
Happily. But my boss wouldn't let me. I could walk in tomorrow and be like, hey, Jeff, I quit. And he'd be like, cool. See you Thursday.
Yeah. And be like, damn it.
Yeah. Damn it.
All right. Love you.
Yeah. Love you too. I'll be back.
David, your bike's not going back in the trainer.
No, remember, once a year it goes on, once a year it comes off. And then I will either, I mean, it's March. It's okay to take a weekend off. That's the other thing. Like, if you have to, it's fine. Or I haven't been on the mountain bike because it's been too freaking nice to like not go on a road bike ride. Yeah. I have only ridden the gravel bike 3 times because it's been too nice to not go on a road bike ride. So if the weather turns a little bit, I'll go for a different type of bike ride.
See, you guys are killing me with the choice of going to the mountain bike or the gravel bike in bad weather.
Yeah.
That's muddier. That's gross. That's even worse. That's Giardia waiting to happen.
But you want to, you're like, the expectation is that's what you're doing. You know, like you go mountain biking expecting you're going to get dirty in those conditions and you're going slower. That's the other thing. It's not as cold or miserable. You can get a great workout in without, like 20 miles an hour in the rain is really cold.
And cars coming close to you and... I don't know. I just have very little tolerance for being in bad weather with traffic around me and all the other things. Just don't want it. Like, I'd rather go disappear out in the woods. You're in the trees. It's not as wet.
Disappear out in the woods. That just makes me sound funny. I have some personal advice to ask. I am heading for a week of training. One of the good things about being a teacher is spring break. I am going to lovely Chelan, Washington for an entire 6 days of a training camp. If someone were to go on a training camp, what would you guys recommend be the training agenda? How would you approach, I have 6 days of training, and this is you personally. I'm asking if Jackson, Sam, Paul, David went to, if you had 6 days, kind of like you did in Hawaii, what would you do? Would you go out in interval base? Would you do mileage and zone two? How would you break up a free week of your life into time on the bike?
Anybody? I will start because I'm going to take the scientific approach to this. You've been doing intervals all winter long. So you should be theoretically better equipped with all of that, right? Like, just punchy efforts.
Yeah.
What you are probably lacking right now is, where do you go at 3 hours? Right? Like, how does your body respond to 4 hours? And so I would personally set, like, a longer, you know, like, time and try to do that multiple days in a row. So I would, I mean, this is just, like, what I did in Maui.
Three, four hours a day.
Every day.
Zone two.
Do you guys remember San Luis Obispo for me last year?
Yeah, Dave.
420 miles and just a shit ton of shrimp burritos. That's my advice. So as many miles as you can
get. And as many burritos.
Yeah. And don't focus on, just get miles, saddle time. Focus on, like, making sure you're enjoying it. You know, you're not going out there to suffer. You're just doing it because you want to do it. And then you eat a bunch of burritos afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. I came back like 4 pounds heavier.
And 400 watts heavier.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not make a ton of, like, you know, fitness gains in that regard, but it did serve me well throughout the year.
I would probably pretty much do like what Sam was saying, but I will say one thing I would do is I watched another creator out there. He's actually a coach and he's in the Lifetime Grand Prix. His name's Dylan Johnson.
I was gonna say, you can mention names.
We're
not hiding anything.
Not at all. But he suggested, when I was training for BWR, which I kind of use now if I ever want to, like, go on rides by myself, is start it with kind of like, because I know you want to aim for some sort of, like, sprint efforts, right?
Yeah
So
thanks to you,
well,
you were, I like mean, dad, just quit, just look in the mirror, dude. You're a sprinter.
Use what you got, honestly. That's what I say. But
I'm just going to sprint because I'm heavy. I'm kidding.
No, I know. Nah. I know. But I'd probably, I would start that ride probably after, like, a little warm-up. Start it with a little bit of a sprint and then just do, like, your 2 hours or whatever and then kind of finish it up with that. Just so you have some sort of, like, burst in there. But
find some moments.
Yeah, but it's not an interval workout, so.
Yeah.
So when are you going?
April. First week of April.
And then you're going to do the first. You can't do the first.
You want to know what's hilarious? I'm going to do this whole week of training. I'm going to come back on a Sunday. Monday, I have a heart ablation procedure. The guy's going to be like, wow, so your heart looks really tired.
On Paris-Roubaix.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
That's April 7th.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I will. We're coming back on Saturday. So Sunday, I'll wake up at the
crack of dawn. Now that's clear. I can focus on
I'll make sure of that.
Yeah. I think it's later in the year that I would, you know, our races aren't going to be really all that long. If you went, like, in February to a camp or March, do what David did. And it wouldn't hurt you to do that.
Yeah.
But you're looking down the barrel of you know, our training races. You're going to be full gas.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to toss a few, you know,
matches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think do a little bit. I would not heavy on intervals, but I would do some sprints.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Probably just, like, mix them in.
Yeah.
Like three, four hour ride with 5, 6, 7 exactly. sprints would be a
perfect
hard ride. Be a good ride.
Mm-hmm. Do 5 minute effort.
Yeah, you know, with a burst in the last 20, 30 seconds, kind of a thing like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Let us know who you choose.
No.
We all gave you different.
It's kind of a good blend of those, I think. You know, and the great thing about where I'm going is it's wine country, and it has nothing to do with the fact that I won't be drinking red wine, because red wine makes me stuffy. But it's rolling hills everywhere, and it's, you can just kind of have these real quick popper climbs and kind of push hard up them and then power over the top and stuff like that. And so that could be nice. There is one hill called McNeil Canyon, which I have yet to summit. It is a horrible bitch of a climb, and I don't know if I'm going to do it this year.
I don't blame you. It's stupid. Dumb.
It's mean. Yeah. It's like a cat. It's like an HC climb.
Just so you know,
it's like 6 miles long.
Training camp version here included a lot of drinks as well.
Oh, well, duh.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, mine's probably going to work best.
No, I won't. I won't do that. Yeah.
Zone two and wine work well together.
Yeah. My wife's going with me, so, you know.
You got AFib last year, though, didn't you, on your training camp? You had to come home
after. Yeah. Day one. Day one.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because 3 days prior, we had a little get-together here. Mm-hmm. And bourbon was involved.
It's a great one.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Okay. Let me see here. Let's jump to tonight's headlines. We gotta move the show along. Let's jump to tonight's headlines. Where's the goddamn news? I was looking for this last week, and I couldn't find it. And now I'm angry.
Do you think it's actually on there?
It is. It is that one. Professional. Tonight's headlines with a mention from our friends from Scratch Labs. If you should already know the brilliance of Scratch, but did you know about the cookbooks? That's right, from tonight's dinner to what you should have on your jersey pockets on the next long ride, Scratch has a series of cookbooks with the cyclist in mind. Be sure to check out them all, along with some sample recipes in their blog. You can actually pick up stuff off their blog. Really great stuff. Please use the link. Milan San Remo happened this last weekend. David, is this race in Italy? And I have to thank Jackson for taking my third pick. Because you made me switch to Michael Matthews.
Yeah.
He's my boy.
I know.
I love that guy. Bling! That brought me the overall win with two riders in the top three with Michael Matthews and Todd A. So I'm not keeping track, but I won. Who in the hell in this room who watched the race would have ever thought Jasper the Disaster? Jasper Philipson.
I'll never vote for him. Just like I'll never vote for Ghana.
Now, it's so funny because of the documentary. He looked like such a sweet, gentle angel, and then last year's Tour de France, you're like going, dickhead?
I don't know. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
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 You put on a set of Liker, we're all a bunch of pricks, you know?
Right?
I really do think it. But I was super...
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, we all think we're cool.
Yeah.
Let's be real about it.
I am cool.
So, exactly.
He's got Liker.
He's not even in Liker.
He's been wearing it all day. But I didn't expect it either. I forget if it was Rob Hatch or whoever was commentating, said he's probably the best sprinter in the world right now. And this is solidified to it. But I was telling my wife on the weekend that it's one thing that's so exciting about current cycling is that you never really know what's going to happen. We're back in that era, and I'm really, really happy to see it. Because like you said, I never thought that Jasper Philipsen was going to actually, was even going to be there in the end. I mean, to see that Vanderpool pulled, he was thinking the entire time that I don't have the final sprint here. I might as well just pull Jasper to the finish. And then he takes it, but also to see that Tade against like some of the world's top sprinters is third on the podium. It's like
after his effort and pulling everybody down the hill.
I thought this entire race was just unbelievable at the end.
Was the entire race, the entire
at the end, But it's just like it shows the form of such a different spread of riders.
Yeah. Fastest edition of Milan San Remo. Large group over the top of the Poggio. What the hell's going on?
Tom Pidcock.
If he wasn't back there, he would have won.
Right? He made up so much room on the descent, and then he put in that flyer.
I'm telling you right now, if he was on Vanderpool's wheel, we would be having a different winner.
Yeah. Crazy.
I don't know. With Philipson there, that's the thing. I don't know if you guys saw the interview with Vanderpool afterwards. He said he felt like he had good legs, but when Philipson pulled up to him, he said, "I'm in good form. I feel it." So he said, "I was hoping that was the case because he dug in deep, you know."
Yeah.
Because that gap on Pidcock would have never been closed if it wasn't for him. Because that's a part of racing that's so exciting. That's everybody talks about the most exciting race really is Milan San Remo because it's the last 20K.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it's
the last
10K. You've got climbers, you got
5K.
Stage racing, you know, Grand Tour winners win it, sprinters. And we were just talking last week where, you know, sprinters are not even, it used to be a sprinter's race. And it's just
and
a
then
matter,
it wasn't, and then it was. And,
yeah,
you know,
and
it,
that's the type of race this is. You cannot pin it down. I mean, it just depends on how things go. Conditions were great. I'm sure there was a slight tailwind that helped. But it was one of the easiest races for Tade. That's what he said.
And he still got third.
He goes, it was a really easy race. Yeah.
It showed, I will say, it really showed the amount of respect going up the Poggio to see Vanderpool close that gap to Pogacar. It really shows the respect that he gives to him, because you saw everybody else just be like, I can't, like, this is gone.
Can't do it.
That second attack he let go, and then to see Vanderpool be like, this is like, he's going to win.
This is a move of the race.
Yeah. I watched him go off that second attack, and I was like, we're done. This is done. But then
really?
To see because then to see Vanderpool close that gap, alarm bells went off.
Was it that much of a gap? Because I'm trying to recall.
They got overturned. Because
I had just woken up.
Down,
you know,
they closed the gap.
When he went off that second attack, I was like, if Vanderpool's not here, this race is done. Because that's how Vanderpool won last year.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if the playing field starting to get a little bit more level when it comes to some of these events, you know, because now, mind you, and then I watched Catalunya today, and Tade just left when he wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Miserable conditions.
Oh, it's horrible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I watched that today, and he's just today and Tade went whenever he wants. So, is there a leveling? Are we finding some equal playing field in terms of the, or are we still in the potential midst of somebody mm-hmm. who's just going to be etched in the storybooks of time?
I don't know if we're seeing a leveling. I think that we are seeing one guy raise the level of everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there are, you know, there are wonder riders out there. There are Vanderpools, there are Van Aerts, and there are Vingegaards. But I think that we're also seeing, like, Jasper Philipsen. We are seeing, like, Michael Matthews. Like, all these different riders raising their level. Because if they don't, they're done.
But I just really, I mean, and I'm not a fan of Jasper. Also, just like I'm not a fan of Ghana. So I take this, you know,
you're upset,
knowing that I have
you're
shade.
Upset.
But
embrace.
I am
your anger.
But I don't think that he is as good as he is written off to be. I think he has the best lead out guy in the whole world,
1,000%. But there's no way he should. There's no way he couldn't have handled the Poggio. Without
he's talented, but I mean, look at the other machine. Like if you know, like there was other guys there that like that had Mathieu to try to, you know, glue to, like, I just have to follow his wheel. This guy's gonna close any gap for me, right?
Isn't that the key to any good sprinter though? I
that's
mean, we talk about
totally.
Like
Mark Cavendish.
Yeah, you gotta gotta know where to be right and when to
Mark
be.
Mark Cavendish can probably. I'm not putting words into his mouth, but could probably attest his entire Milan-San Remo to George Hincapie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think most of his races to Renshaw.
Yeah.
Like I'm not discrediting that. I'm just saying it's like the sprinter is truly like I don't shine as big of a light on them as I am like, man, that lead out guy is a freaking unit. Like, yeah. Like
that's
you're
because
saying,
that's what you want to be.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree. I think Philipson's more than a sprinter because in Roubaix he was there.
True.
And he did not have a lead out, and he waxed everybody for second place.
Yeah.
I think he's more of a classic, a very fast classic. I don't like the guy. I agree with you. As a personality, I think he's kind of.
Was it because of the last year's tour?
No, I the way he presents himself a little bit, I don't like. Especially somebody who has a reputation, because I've had, and maybe it's just my own little thing, but. I've had teammates like him where they are not prepared, and it's like everybody scrambles for them. It's like, God dang it.
Yeah.
You know, and I got yelled at by a teammate because we were at a stage race down in Moscow, and he missed his start time because he was shaving his legs. And he goes, why didn't you tell me what time it was? Like,
it's not my job, you little bitch.
But, you know, he was a team leader, but it's like, there's no way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that type of attitude, and people are always like gathering his stuff because he's a scatterbrain, and I just don't appreciate
that
personality.
Oh wow! Okay,
yeah, that's the way Philipsen is. That's what they used to call him
Jasper Disaster. Yeah, mm-hmm. Wow.
I vibe with him.
Yeah,
you vibe one with, of those. With him.
Yeah, you got a brother that brings you food.
I mean, we got.
So we should call you David to the Disaster.
Tornado
Disaster
Dave.
Tornado Dave.
That's his nickname. I was trying to message you guys.
So
on YouTube,
F Elk Elf on the Shelf.
It's Tornado Dave. It's always been Tornado Dave.
We got five minutes into the ride on Saturday, and I realized I left my phone. I had zero food. And
no battery.
No battery. I had a tube, but I had nothing else.
Yeah.
And
so I roll up knowing that this was all going to happen and started handing him food.
Every show I write down what the show's going to be titled. Something comes up in the show, so I have to write it down. Tonight's show's going to be titled Tornado Dave.
Yep. Tornado Dave. You have to love him.
I learned it very quickly. My father, we went to Seattle to race the track, and I forgot my shoes. And I forgot my shoes about 3 hours into a five-hour drive. And my dad said, "You're racing on your tennis shoes."
Hell yeah.
And I did. I did.
And you won.
Did I tell you how many races I've lost on the track?
None.
None.
What cat are you?
Did I tell you when I stopped racing on the track? 1987.
Well, it's a hell of a drive.
It was. So, speaking of, are you guys happy with the result? Sam's not happy with the result. So.
Oh, I'm fine with it. I just don't have the like ooh awe respect.
I was just looking for a segue. Speaking of not happy with the result, let's check in.
I don't care.
Let's check in with Lance and the touchy feely nature of bike racing. And I'm reading from prepared text, so it might take me a second. Stick with me. I'll try to read quickly. Never a man to stray far from the headlines. Former American professional cyclist Lance Armstrong, I should dub that
Voldemort.
Out, has caused a flurry of debate on social media with his comments on the friendliness of today's top stars. Speaking in a lengthy interview, shocker, on the Happy Endings YouTube channel, which...
Rough title.
What? Yeah.
Voldemort drew comparisons between his rivalry with Jan Ullrich and the supposed friendships among today's top stars, no doubt referring to the likes of Matthew Vanderpoel and Tadej Pogacar remaining affectionate despite their sporting battles. I'm quoting him now. It was way less friendlier in our generation. This generation now, like these guys go hammer and race each other and some guy will lose. The guy who wins is waiting at the finish line and they're fucking hugging it out. I'm quoting him. I'm like, what? Are you just waiting there so you can all hug it out after you lost? The seven-time omitted winner of the Tour de France went on to say, I added that part in. he went on to say, I do think our generation's racing was better.
Oh, that's cute.
We didn't hate each other. Even for me, nobody ever did anything for me that would have led me to be like, okay, I hate this motherfucker. But I would make things up, like read an article or read a quote and be like, I guess I could read it in a certain way, like, well, okay, fuck them. You make it up. We just had more college locker room mentality where we would use these guys as examples and their quotes would just make up these rivalries.
That's
Is Voldemort running for fucking president for the Republican Party?
Yes.
That was cringy.
I think the reason why it was like that way back then is because they were all jacked up on you know, testosterone. Yeah. Yeah.
They're all dicks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, especially him, like the most unliked human that has ever raced a bicycle.
And that's how he thought. You know, that's not, it doesn't mean everybody of his era. That's just his perspective. You know what I mean? That's what fueled him.
Yeah.
Is hatred and anger and that type of thing. And look what it's got him.
Yeah.
So screw him.
What a horrible way to approach racing.
Yeah.
If you guys disagree, let me know. I love that these guys are coming up after the race and going, "Damn it, great job!" You know, I know that Tadej and Michael Matthews are incredibly close friends. Mm-hmm. Even Tadej and seeing he and Matthew Vanderpoel or Vingegaard or stuff like that just be professional and respect each other after the end of the race is really heartwarming to see. I'm like, cool. They can go at it, yet finish and go, shit, you got me, man. That was a good job. Or, you know, hearing people make comments like, Jesus, Tadej left the peloton like a bullet out of a gun, and I don't know how we can catch him, but we'll try again.
I think it's the respect that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
I mean, they all respect each other at the end of the day, and that's, I mean, you don't have to be a dick about it to make it a good race. So
I think it's a sign of the times. You think about, like, the NFL, there was a period where it's all chest beating and everything.
Yeah.
I could never figure that out. Somebody would sack the quarterback. They're down 30 points, and he's beating his chest. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
You're behind. What does that got to do?
Yeah.
And back in the old days when I used to watch it, you nailed somebody hard and you knew it, they would like help them up.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't play with your head, it's like, hey, you all right, buddy? As opposed to like standing over and beating their chest.
Yeah.
I think we're in a better time when it comes to sportsmanship, and I like it.
I also think about the next generation, right? So not the ones that are like my age, but the ones that are, you know, juniors still watching these, you know, top level athletes race against each other. If you're watching that era that Lance is talking about, you're probably going to raise people that have no temper mm-hmm. at all, are going to show no sign of sportsmanship, and honestly, cheat. I'm sorry, but he did what he did.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then also, we're seeing now the type of racers where you go up and you say, good job. Like, we are starting to see kind people in professional sport. And it's refreshing because now we're probably going to start seeing kids look at each other and say, hey, you got me today, but good job. I'll get you, like, I'll try and get you again tomorrow. Because that's really where our sport is going. If we want it to grow, we have to start showing that we can be kind to one another, but also race competitively against each other.
You know how hard it is to shake someone's hand after they beat you?
100%.
So fucking hard. And like, they're doing it in these huge races. I'm like, yeah. I tip my hat to you because I personally, that's hard.
I was gonna shift to how we all handle it. I mean, yeah. David, a short while ago, was talking about the fact that he just wants to go out and, you know, make murder people cry,
yeah.
you know, and things like that. How do you connect with your competition? Are you able? When you start a race,
there's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is there that element of, I'm coming after you, I'm coming after you. You know, like you, Sam, you say, mm-hmm. you're my bitch. You know, those types of things. And then how do you see yourself dealing with it once the race is over? I can speak from personal experience that I, in my day, absolute asshole. I was a pretty fast asshole for a long time, and I would yell at people, and
I could say it.
Thanks. You know how badly I want to scream right now?
I know.
But I can't because the microphones can only handle so much. How do you guys handle it? I mean, you know, let's start with the youngest here, Jackson. How do you, I know that you go to a start line, and you want to be the guy who wins it. Sure. How do you handle that energy, that emotion, that moment, and then are you able to switch it off at the end of a race?
Going up to the line, I think this is probably a big surprise to everybody sitting here. I don't really talk that much. So to get really a word out of me, even on our rides, and this isn't because it's competitive, it's just kind of how I go. I don't really say that much.
Yeah.
It's just kind of how I idle, you know, for lack of a better term. But I think that's in seriousness. First of all, that's kind of what I do when it comes to race time. I go quiet because I have a focus. When I start to chat, that's when my mind starts to wander and I get off of it.
Yeah.
That's what I got from my soccer days. That's even from now. But then, you know, race time goes on and it's still, I don't have very much to say. It's just all focus on what's going on. Afterwards, I try and turn it off as much as I can because I know that if I don't, then I'll be unpleasant. And I won't be like, the nice person that I want to be. So just try and shut it off as much as I can.
Am I wrong to say that you internalize it?
I think
frustration.
I think it depends on the person that I am around.
Okay.
So around my wife, I don't really internalize it very yeah. much. Like, I'm very open with her. But if I'm just like, not that I don't feel comfortable around you guys, but if you guys come up to me and they're talk to me, that'll probably be still inside.
Just an ulcer.
Yeah.
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 But it's just an ulcer.
But, you know, big deep breathing yeah. and all that stuff, yeah. it gets it out.
Yeah. Paul, you always handle it so perfectly and it pisses me off.
Well, that's because I don't win.
A lot of practice.
So it's a lot easier. Oh, no. But, you know, for me, it's like, there's times where I get angry at the end of the race, and it's not against the person that beat me. It's yeah. always, it's something I assess what I did wrong. That's the only thing I can control. You know, my losing is I made a bad move or made a bad decision, and that's the part that bothers me, that, you know, and Jackson and I talked a little bit about mm-hmm. Racecraft on Sunday's ride and stuff, and it's like, the more you race, the more it just becomes natural instinct. You don't have to think about it. But when you do make a bad move, and I can't blame somebody unless they do something, you know, like sweep me or something. Yeah. But I, you know they did something wrong, and I'll just say, dude, that was stupid. That's about it.
Really?
You know, but, you know, I don't think anybody purposely tries to. I've never had anybody purposely try to sweep me, but it's happened, you yeah. know, so. Yeah, I do it more on what could I have done to improve, not take it out on someone else. And that kind of reminds me of Scott Bork.
Yeah.
He said that my problem was I never got pissed off at people, and that's why you'll never win. So, yeah.
What an absolute asshole.
That's where it goes. Well, I mean, right,
you know. Yeah.
He probably
yeah,
was right.
To an extent, yeah. 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 The Waples, you guys are just like... You're just like pit bulls released
yeah,
into an open...
I just want to kill him,
you're
though.
Pit bulls released into an open dog park...
And then somebody, look at each other yeah. and go, I don't care about any of them.
Yeah, yeah. Who hurt you two?
Each other.
Yeah, okay.
Our whole childhood.
Okay. Are you guys able to switch it off? I mean, I do recall in Montana somebody going around like every third lap going, tell him to move up! Like you were screaming your face off.
Yeah, I was pissed.
And you were mad. How did you turn that off?
Remember that whole thing that we were talking about, like showing up to a race and being ready?
Oh, you know what? Or on time.
I was there.
You were the last one.
I was there, though.
You were the last one.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. I was there before the clock turned.
Let he without sin cast the first stone.
And
when the official's going, Spokane, are you guys ready? Yeah. Are you ready? And we're screaming, Sam! And they're like, doing this with your wife. You know, hey, la, 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 la. Is my hair okay?
Yeah. I still stand by it.
These shorts make my butt look small.
Yeah. Yeah. Look like,
but
look more horse.
I will say, I think that, longer. I don't know.
You aren't chiming in. You could be bashing your brother at this moment.
Well, I'm not usually bashful. You know, I don't usually get mad at people. Like, that race was dumb. I have nothing else to say about it other than it was dumb. There was guys that blocked the whole road in a local, like, relatively regional local race. Like, what are you doing?
What race are you talking about?
The crit. They had the whole front blocked. Yeah. Everybody was blocking
for
those guys.
Yeah, the first, like, two laps, they just let, like, four guys go.
They wanted their guys in the break, and they physically blocked the road.
There was, like, two local teams that just sat there.
There's, like, nothing you can say to people like that.
I just pushed my way through.
Yeah, it's just stupid, though.
And that's what you got to do. And they did it where turn one, because we got shrank down to a whole road down there, and that's when they just shut
off. Okay, all that aside. I will say that I'm not really that competitive unless it's a big race like that. Like the local stuff, I could really care less about. It's all about just trying to hurt everybody around me.
Sure.
But any of the bigger stuff, like, you know, at RC3, I showed up to the crit because I was like gunning for it after the day before not going according to plan. And I can turn it on. I'm not really a competitive person.
How are you guys at turning it off?
Fine.
I think that... you know, Jackson might be able to speak to it, but, you know, soccer, you go shake everybody's hand afterwards.
Oh, that's bullshit. You
know? I hate that.
Yeah,
I know, but like you have to.
That's
like,
forced human connection. Oh, fuck that.
Yeah. I think it's like your cue to shut it off. Yeah. Like that's your cue. Yeah. Hey, it's over. Shake their hand and move on. Like it's the same thing with the bike race. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
Most of these guys, like half the time we go to these races, somebody that we care about and call a friend does something stupid. The race is over. You can talk about it, but move on. Like they're still your friend.
Mm-hmm.
I find a hard time with it, but I hide it behind humor. I do. Well, or attempts at humor. do you guys ever talk about? Do you ever talk bad about other people when you're in your car on your way home?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay.
What's the ride home for?
Like, yeah, what else is it for? That's the whole point.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I got to shift gears in order to get through all our segments. We are while there are multiple races happening this week, E3, Paul got mad at me because I didn't include it, and Catalunya are occurring this week. We got to focus on Gent Wevelgem in Flanders Fields, which brings the classics to Belgium in Flanders Fields. Paul, if you had to say, because you've been the only one who's here who's been to Flanders Fields.
Wait, have I told you that?
Yeah. Oh, Paul's been to Belgium. Where's my number two.
What?
As someone who's been there, is it a big area? Is it kind of like they just kind of loop all around inside a certain mile radius? I mean.
Yeah, it's pretty much on the west side of Flanders more than. If you see like Tour of Flanders and E3, E3 is kind of the miniature version of Flanders, and they go a little more east.
Yeah.
And they hit all the bergs there. This one goes to Ypres, or however people want to pronounce it. And it starts in the Minnegate, which is it is actually to celebrate the World War One.
Commemorate.
So. They go by several of the mass graves of different countries. Wow. There's, if you just watch it, and you'll see just like white tombstones forever, and that could be Australia, Canadian, all these. So it is a special race. The big hill on that is the Camelberg, and they go up, and it's a cobble climb, of course, and pretty steep. If you're on Ruby, you can actually try it on your trainer.
Yep.
And they used to go down the cobble side years back. What was his name? He's from Wenatchee, race for Garmin.
Quinn's.
No. Oh, God. And he's from Wenatchee.
Oh, shit. Sprinter.
And he's now a fireman at Kirkland.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm the 61-year-old. I have to rely on you guys to remember.
I just said his name the other day.
But anyway, he had a big spill on that. It was pretty common. You're descending down, and there's a right-hand corner, and everybody piled up.
Wasn't
he
at Tour de Bloom?
Yeah, and his dad. Actually,
Tyler Farrar.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. Drink. So, but yeah, that's probably the major hill, and it used to be like a real. It used to be a real like sprinters type of race.
Yeah.
Because there's a flat run in, but you know. Several people, like semi-sprinters or not so much sprinters, have won in the past too. So,
men and women racing.
Yep.
Your picks and commentary are limited to about 30 seconds each. So, beginning with the women, I am going with Lotta Kopecky. I'm going with Lisa Longa Borghini. Jeez, I can't believe I screwed up her name. I've been saying her name for 5 years. And Ellen Van Dijk. I don't know why. I think she's got that. She's so strong, and I think Lidl Trek is going to rival SD Works. That's my picks. Jackson,
I am picking Lotta Kopecky, Elisa Longa Borghini, and Femme Van Empel.
So, in other words, we're all basically going to stuck
not
with one
picking
rider.
Lotta Kopecky. Like okay, so yeah. Chloe Dygert.
Chloe, Americans.
And then is Corinne Lebecky, because she got married? Did she change her name?
Yep.
That's what I thought. Uh-huh. Yep.
Did you just pick two?
Well, because I already chose.
Oh, because you picked Lotta Kopecky. Okay.
Yeah. Kopecky, I have Van Empel, and then Bassamo.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so a little track. Mm-hmm. David?
A lot of thought went into this.
Peter Sagan does not.
A lot of thought. based off of people I know, Chloe Dygert. because
raced against
you
her.
Can't count them out.
Yeah.
I can't say their first name, but the last name is Kant.
Sonic Hunt. Son is writing? Wow, yeah, okay. Sonic, yeah, great cross-writer.
And then I picked Van Gotham because anybody with Van usually kicks ass, and Gotham's pretty badass, so.
She's got the whole Dutch Batman thing going on there.
He picks like people do the bracket for the NCAA tournament.
Pretty yeah. much.
What's
yep.
the mascot?
Yeah.
What are the colors?
Pretty yeah. much what I did, so.
Men's edition, I'm picking Matthew Vanderpool because duh. I'm picking Mads Pedersen because he's riding really well, and picking Matej Mohorič because he's had a pretty good, he's been up there. He's been in the groups. I don't know. I think he could escape and get and make something happen.
Because I don't want to pick exactly what you picked, I'm picking Mathieu van der Poel.
Yeah.
I'm picking Jasper Philipsen.
Oh.
And I am picking Michael Matthews.
Good. I thank you because I want Michael Matthews to do well.
All right, then I'm going to choose somebody different. I'll skip Vanderpool then. I'm going to do Matthews, Mads Pedersen, and I love Edvald Boasenhagen.
Okay.
Bring it back.
And for me,
yep.
I went with Christophe Laporte. He knows how to win that.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I picked an American, Magnus Sheffield. He seems to do well in these. And then Arnaud Dely.
Oh, okay.
So
he's due. He's
if
been trying.
He can stay off the ground. He's crashing every single.
And then there's David.
I judge how well I'm doing at this by how many you guys also picked.
Yeah.
So I picked Vanderpool and I picked Pedersen.
Okay.
And I picked Cavendish because he's got to eventually start winning if he's going to actually. I'm just saying he's got to do it.
He's got to get over the camel bird.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so.
Let's get to tonight's segment, shall we? Supported by our friends at Camelback. They started with hydration packs, now offer that and so much more. Please check them out at packfiller.com. Everyday tumblers, too. Screw Stanley.
Yeah.
Get a Camelback tumbler. We're going to start with fit tips with Bike Fit Sam, courtesy of our friends at Ambassador Cycling. Get fit to get fit, and be sure and check it out as much as and often as possible because we're about to touch base on that tonight. AmbassadorCycling.com. When replacing parts, this was a good question. Crank, bars, pedal systems, things like that. How often should you be refitting? Is this something you can just go, well, you know, I'll eyeball it and everything will be fine? Or is this something that we should be aware of that could cause potential hazards down the road?
Yeah, it really depends. I actually had a patient that I fit last week also email me this over the weekend. And he was asking, all right, well, I'm getting these handlebars now and I'm going to put on these new cleats and I want to swap out the saddle. Do you think that I need to, you know, schedule a refit? And I'm like, well, the saddle is the same saddle. The cleats are the same cleats. You're not switching styles or anything like that. Just outline the cleats, throw on the new ones. And then for the handlebars, like I said, you know, the mechanics, if you're bringing it to their attention, like, hey, this is my, you know, current fit. I want the new stuff to line up like this. Honestly, they can get it really close. And if they don't, if it's not perfect, then schedule something with me to come in and have it. But a big part of my belief is like cycling is expensive enough. Like if you come in over and over and over again for, you know, all these minor adjustments and things, as much as I love to see people, it just gets expensive. Like, so I think that like a lot of that stuff you can do yourself, unless it's like, hey, it's been 3 years and I'm getting these new parts. Great. Let's do a checkup.
Yeah. And you do send people home with documentation of what they should have and where they should be.
Yep. And so that's like if you put on a different seat that has a different seat height, you know, to it, because like rails to the top. Like
yeah.
You just match the top with the seat height that I've provided you.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the time, like the nose of the saddle, measure out the saddle, see where, you know, the difference is and you know, change it accordingly. But all those measurements that I provide people with, like you said, yeah, that should get you close.
Do you, when you align saddle, is it, do you line off just dead center in the saddle straight up from the seat post? Is that kind of thing?
Yeah, so like when
that?
I go, like, I follow the seat post all the way up to the top of the saddle just in that line, and that's how I'd get the seat height. And then 4.5 is relative to whatever saddle you have. Sure. And so for that, I do, like, from the nose of the saddle to the center of the handlebars. that's your reach. So if you change the saddle and you went from like a physique to a, you know, Sella Italia, yeah, it's going to be different, and you do have to take that into account. And if it's that gross of a change, like, you probably should come in and get it readjusted. But also, it's all relative to pain. Like, I mean, are you having pain? Like, most of my fits that I do are for recreational riders. And, like, they're like, David, it's like you could, you know, raise his seat 2 inches. And he's like, feels different.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You know, and he just keeps riding. It's like a lot of people don't really notice those little tweaks. But then there's me that's just, like, so neurotic.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's a millimeter different.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, this week, and I'm like, David, I raised my saddle 5 millimeters. Can't you tell?
There was a point in time where we would stop like 3 times per ride for him to like tap his seat post one direction or another. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Just ride your bike.
He was so mad.
Was Sunday in Hell with Merckx?
Yeah. Tip it down, tip it back up, drop it a little. God.
Merckx wasn't that way until 20 he had mile his ride. Crash on the track.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
he started getting, because of the discomfort.
Okay, we got to do this because, you know, he's
written. And this topic, you could jump into.
Ask Dr. David. Question tonight for David is, how should you approach building your glycogen stores for a big event like a stage race? And how do you go about restoring them for the next stage without overeating or undereating? I honestly... this makes me realize how old I am when it's just like going, glycogen stores? What? I'm just going to have a beer and a, you know, big plate of pasta and go to bed. A
lot of sugar and beer. So that would work probably.
Oh, there we go. Next. No. Talk to me about building glycogen stores for a big event, and how do you do it? Is it through food? Is it through process?
Well, it's going to be through food, but like, you know, the way that the idea of glycogen stores came about was that they were biopsying muscle, like at different times in your training and with different diets, and trying to figure out how much glycogen was in there. The important thing to remember here is we're talking about muscle glycogen, not liver. Yeah. Those are the two sources. Muscle's got about like 5 times more in general glycogen than a liver does. And it's harder to top off, essentially, because it's a bigger tank. And so the way that this was originally brought about was that you would try to push that 500 grams to, say, 550 or 600 that you could put into your muscles. And so glycogen or carbo loading, the idea of carbo loading, you know, I think when I was in high school, it was like, oh, team dinner, spaghetti the night before.
Mm-hmm.
Not how this was intended to be. The intent for carbo loading, increasing your glycogen stores, was to drive yourself to a point of depletion with your training. So like a week out from your training, you push yourself to a point where you have, you know, less glycogen, you've been training too hard, and you need to recover. And then the week leading up to your event, you start tapering. I think this is where we start getting the idea of tapering. You cut back your efforts and you increase your carbohydrate intake. You don't need to eat more calories in a day than you've been eating, but you need to increase the number of carbohydrates that account for those calories. So if you typically eat 40% carbohydrates, which is probably pretty healthy, you should increase to 60 to 70% for that week while you're tapering. So not only are you asking less from your body in terms of removing glycogen from the stores, but you're giving it more, and then you might be able to essentially add more glycogen to that bank than you typically do before an event. Now, as far as after, like in a multi-day stage race, you're just going to need to be consuming a large amount of carbohydrates, recovery drinks. You want to stay on top of your carbs during the event so that you don't deplete more than you need to. You want to give yourself simple sugars in the race so that you're not using the glycogen if you don't absolutely need to use it. Does that make sense?
And it's different forms, yeah, there, right? Like liquid's good, you know, whereas like getting it, there's carbs and various different types of foods, but not just sticking to like pasta as your
rice,
you know, yeah. It's like getting it in multiple different forms. And
can't make enough plugs for the avoidance of high fructose corn syrup either, but I will say that that is not the kind of carbohydrate you want to put into your body that's not going to go, that usually gets converted directly to fat, not glycogen. Mm-hmm. You want to use...
If it's not burned.
Whole grain. Yeah, if it's not burned. But yeah. You want to use like whole grain. You want to use, you know, simple carb, a mix of like simple carbs, whole grains, that sort of a thing.
And that's what killed Wolverine. You guys ever seen Logan?
Mm-hmm.
There's a theory in that the whole world was populated with massive amounts of high fructose corn syrup. That's what ended the mutants. There you go.
I believe it.
Wow. That makes sense.
Sorry, I blacked out into nerddom there for a second. Excuse me.
You went deep.
Yeah, I did. I can go deeper. Never mind. Style points. Jackson, you got a style points for us? Are there images involved?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Style points with Jackson Bulger. Oh, God. How dorky am I?
No, I'm not. I'm not calling you guys
Don't
out.
Don't put bifocals in your cycling glasses.
You can't even see those. Those are pretty cool. Yeah. What I will say is that we now are... It's going to segue perfectly into what Paul's going to say, probably. But we're in a different time than we have been for a while. And I'll lead into that. So I always like to start with some questions for you guys because it's fun.
These are fun, yeah.
Do you guys think you have style?
Oh, shit.
Honestly, Sam, do you think you have style?
Swag, dude.
You do?
Yeah,
okay.
For sure.
Okay. Okay. Paul?
On or off the bike?
Just in general.
Oh, only on.
I'm hit and miss. I think, you know, I just do my own thing. I don't really.
Paul has style.
Paul has style. Paul has total definitely off, has especially style. Off the bike.
He has style off the bike.
Yeah. Yeah.
Euro
yeah.
all around.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. Anyways.
David?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. What?
I mean, if I
on pull the bike,
my, if I pull, if I have it on the bike, it's because I copy what you do. If I pull my socks over my pants by accident in the morning, I leave it because it feels nice.
I leave it because it's been done.
Because honestly, he's on his mission and he's got to get people to join the Church of Mormon.
And no, it feels nice when you don't have floppy things on your ankles. And I get people that are like, hey, your pants are tucked into your sock. I'm like, well, now I'm going to have to take it out. But like, that was really comfortable. Like, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Must like joggers.
Yeah, no, I don't have any. Just, well, but see, I don't want to wear joggers.
Just look them square in the eye and say, I know, it's because my dick's tucked into it.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Always, you don't want to see that.
It's always in the hospital. I don't know if that's a good idea.
That's not
a good idea. I don't know. I get a lot of my off-the-bike styling from you, Jackson, and my wife telling me that looks cool. My on the bike is just because that's what I've always done. Sure. I care. I mean, there was a while where I had a black kit with a blue helmet and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
But the helmet was free.
Yeah.
So I'm a cheap bastard. Yeah.
That's fair.
Do you? You do.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean.
Yeah. You're constantly thinking about it.
Yeah, I think about it every
it's
time.
It's a segment.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes. That's true. Yeah.
Who's the most stylish person you know?
You.
Okay. I appreciate that very much.
I'd say my wife.
Yeah.
My wife is very stylish.
That's what I was going to say, dude. Danielle freaking kills it every day. I swear she doesn't wear the same outfit twice.
Like, yeah, she trendy.
Dude, yeah.
Ben also, though.
Yeah, Ben.
The youngest brother.
My wife's worked at home since COVID, so.
Pajamas.
She's not stylish.
SpongeBob.
Yeah.
Whatever.
She doesn't listen.
Yeah. There are days when I'll know if she had a meeting. You know how I know? I'll come home, and I'll come home, and the back of her head will be completely like still bedhead.
Nice.
Like,
well, nice.
Yeah. I'm hoping she's not listening.
That is so
if not,
great.
She'll be she's down not. Here kicking my ass. Yeah, exactly.
And because so I asked that because I feel like when we talk about style, we always kind of like base our style around somebody we look up to in terms of what we want to wear. Do they do something that we like? And so I guess in that vein, do you guys have a certain cycling style icon that you look towards? Because I know I do. I'm going to get into this more, but I think the current era of influencers kind of influence, to use that word again, me into what I like to wear while I'm on the bike. Sam, do you have somebody you look at?
Current, or can Paul and I go old school?
I'm talking, my next question was, do you think that it's like, when you think of style, it's current or a retro? So
okay. Yeah, yeah.
Go wherever.
Mine was very much like 2014 Dacoina Quickstep. Like any quick step. Sorry. It was like the Wolf Pack, like yeah. anybody in there loved Tom Boonen, like all those guys. Like yeah. I just they were specialized bikes, it was Castelli gear, loved that stuff. And so I think that probably still in the same vein with that. But any of the bigger guys like Matthew, I always look to them and I'm like, yeah, that's stylish.
Okay.
Matthew wears white shorts. That doesn't
well,
work.
Well, then
me.
Right now.
For me, I think you're kind of dampered by your team's kit. So
sure.
I mean, you can wear it, right? So when I look at style on the bike, I look at the way they ride. And it just like Nibali was, Vincenzo Nibali was to me like of late one of the most beautiful people who was on a bike. And before that, I loved Moser's style.
Yeah.
Those guys were just, they're just like glass. It looked like it was effortless and they just mm-hmm. didn't matter what they wore. They just had style on the bike.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just kind of depend on whatever Sam's doing.
Okay.
And whatever I get you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his food.
Can I get one, please? Can I have one of those?
Yeah, yeah. I'll take one.
First thing that popped into my head was Bernardino.
Yeah.
Yeah. His style. I mean, he started off with the Ray-Bans, like the Aviators, which was so cool in the 80s when he rode those on without a helmet, of course.
Yeah.
And then he switched to the, he and Charlie Motte switched to the Rudy Projects, yeah. which I thought were the coolest thing in the world. Mm-hmm. And that, and LeMond were all very much my kind of my influences at the time. If I had to go more modern, oh shit, that's hard for me to label because cycling style is so, you know, they figured it out. Yeah. I mean, even Cav has figured it out. The guy looks like a badass all the time. So, yeah.
I mean, individuals that come to my mind, I based a lot of my current style off of like what Ted King was, I think 2018, 2019. Sagan, I will say, I think that he was the first initiator of the big sunglasses in our current cycling era.
Brought them back.
So riders like those. And I mentioned the influencer era because we are in that right now.
Sure.
So if you scroll through any of your social medias and I'm sure that all of us are kind of cycling based, I would imagine, you find that we're in a very weird time when it comes to like social media. People are earning money off of this stuff now. And when it's social media, it's all how you look, right? I follow some guys that it's like they just put certain tones over their videos. They cinch their hoods in specific ways. And I'm noticing that it's coming out of England, which is so interesting. I think that country is going to make cycling look a lot cooler. Like I said, they're using a lot of different like filters or like angles in their videos. When they're off the bike, they put effort into what they look like. They're not in some black Cool Max polo because that's what the wife said looks good.
Yeah.
Like they're with the trends and everything. And I just think it's a really interesting like generational shift in that like people my age and like and younger are starting to take over how the sport look a little bit. And it's kind of it's what I think Lachlan Morton started, but it's just changed a little bit. And when I say that, it's not so relaxed to where it's like, okay, you're kind of faking it.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's who Lachlan Morton is, but I think that some people try and take that on and they're like, this is kind of annoying now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's just so interesting to see how different it was from the Tom Boonen eras or like the retro style that we're talking about, because currently, while some of those retro styles are still used today, it's also so different. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of different companies now. I mentioned PNS, which is, I forget what that stands for, but that's a new cycling brand. MAP is mm-hmm. one that's really big. Rafa is kind of not the trendy thing to wear anymore. Wow. And so it's just interesting how much styles changes. I don't know. It's just fun to watch how it all moves.
The Italians I would pick.
Oh.
Especially off the bike. Yeah. Off the bike.
Yeah, the Italians. Yeah. I don't know what it is about the Brits. They're making it look cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, there we go.
Isn't Castelli Italian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wore those Castelli shorts he gave me today.
Most of them are made in Spokane, Washington.
Good. Yeah, a lot of them are made in Spokane, Washington. Did you hear that, David?
I knew that. Yeah, I did know. But they're designed in Italy, and then they're manufactured for the U.S.
I clearly have Italian in my jeans because, like, my ass just fits Castelli so well. Fucking
hell. Oh, sorry. One last thing I did want to say. Support your content creators out there. These people are making their money off this stuff. We're not the only ones out there, you know?
Yeah.
If you're just only focused on us, by the way, which that's fine. Well,
support us.
Yeah, that's fine. But like, support us all. We're all out here making stuff. So,
yeah. All right, final segment. Not last but not least, definitely is Paul with his changing time segment. So, what do you got for us tonight, man?
Well, I was listening to a couple of podcasts and then talking to Jackson about racecraft and stuff and how I think this generation is using a little bit more, and I'm finding more and more people don't use their watts. I mean, guys in the races, they turn it off or they don't pay attention to it while they're racing. And I think that's why we're, in my opinion, it's getting back to what I knew in the 80s. And I'm kind of frustrated where in the cycling industry, or not the industry so much, but a little bit of the industry, but racing is like they want to mimic F1. And I followed F1 since, I'm not a huge fan, but I've followed it since the 90s. And it is so freaking boring right now. Van Stappen is won 19 races last year. Red Bull has got it in control, and everybody's scrapping for little. Mm-hmm. And it's not fun to watch. I mean, I just watch the highlights. I used to watch the whole race, and now I don't even want to. I just get highlights because I know who's going to win even before the race starts. And do we really want to model road cycling after that? And this whole technology and stuff, and it takes away the whole, like, in the middle of a race, you've got to make a decision. And that was a cool part, as opposed to, you know, arms race. Yeah. And that's part of the UCI said, okay, we're getting crazy on these bikes, double triangle, let's just keep it this way.
Yeah.
And I the TT thing this year has just blown my mind because I love TTs. I'm done. I don't even care about TTs anymore because it's just ridiculous about equipment. And it's just not, something I can even pay for. I mean, I can barely pay for a standard road bike. And I like to see it go back to just strategy. And Milan San Remo was one of them. I mean, UAE had a plan, and it didn't come to. And you got to, you know, the whole part of the cycling is, you know, getting people to commit when you want them to commit as a team. You put, like in boxing, and I was sharing with Jackson, even as a pitcher when I was in high school and stuff, your delivery, if you're doing a different pitch, you may not know it, but you address, you knowing you're changing the grip on the ball. If you do a routine, people will pick up on that, and they know what's coming. So there's all this factor that's, to me, is great about cycling. But if you make it all about equipment, then it's just a matter of who's the fastest.
Who's got the most money.
Yeah.
Money ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't like that. But I think it's kind of hopefully going away from that. So.
Yeah. It's been an interesting development, especially with the time trial helmets, because as I think I said in the last show, where we had massive changes in the early 80s in terms of aerodynamics, in terms of the haves and the have-nots, even disc wheels, funny bikes, things like that. And we embraced it, even though it was an unfair advantage, if we think about it today. But is this okay? You know, are we overreacting to it, or should we try to control these types of things? I guess it's the price point when you talk about it.
Yeah, and the genie's out of the bottle.
Yeah.
It's not, I just don't see it going back, unfortunately.
No.
That's just the way it's going to go. But I guess my point was that I'm glad to see, like, this last weekend how race was done. It was back to old school. So.
This battle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. And Filippo Ganna's helmet did not help him aerodynamically win the race.
No, and he had gear failure because he hit a pothole and it went into default mode.
Oh,
he got stuck in his 11 on the downhill.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that didn't happen with mechanicals, but that's another thing.
Okay.
There we go. Guys, ready?
True.
Final K? It's a quick answer. You got to do it before the outro finishes. Yeah. Final question. What is your next cycling purchase, Jackson?
A saddle.
Sam?
Probably a road bike.
Whoa!
At some point. I mean, I don't have any other big purchases.
Yeah.
Shoes.
Shoes?
Get some new shoes. Yeah.
Shoes and pedals. I'm putting those together.
Are you? Yeah, power pedals?
No, I have power meter. Just regular. I want time pedals to match my bike.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
New shoes.
I was going to say shoes, but I actually would like a new mountain bike. That's where I'm leaning. I would like to have a new mountain bike. No, I'd like a little bit of rear suspension.
Minimal.
Just cross country. Yeah, a little bit cross country bike. Mm-hmm. Cross-country.
That's all you need around here.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and I just want it for 12 nights a week.
The thing is, as we get older.
Oh, how many headphones did I drop? That many headphones did I drop? I'm almost out of time, so hey, that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
And everybody, and as Jackson said, support your content creators, including us. And you know how easy it is to click like and subscribe on YouTube and on your podcast feeds? It helps us immensely, especially with the podcast sponsors that keep us going and keep us lubricated. We will catch you guys next week.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.